Turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. I ask Neil to bear with me. I spoke, gave these thoughts at Springbrook last Sunday. I've enlarged upon it, Neil, a little bit this week and that. But I enjoyed the subject that we see here in Scripture, and I enjoy the thought concerning discipleship. There's been a lot of books that's been written by godly men on discipleship, and a number of programs that have been put together. Many great discernment and thoughts that's been given to the subject of discipleship and being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, being a follower of Him, a true follower of Him. That's what disciple means, isn't it? It's someone who has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and has a desire to follow Him, to be a learner of Him. Throughout all eternity, we'll be learning of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have so much to learn concerning Him. There's so much revealed in the Word of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done, and the promises that He gives to us, the assurances, the corrections, the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect and mature unto all good works. So I thought we might look briefly at the thought of discipleship. One of the characteristics of the last days that Paul talks about is there would be those who would be ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, but never really coming to the simple knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. It's a lot of knowledge today and a lot of learning and so on, but it's not according to the simple knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. One of the characteristics of the last days in which we're living in, the last days of the church age. So we need to be discerning and make sure that what we hear and what is taught and what we follow is according to the Word of God. Give it a test. Is it of the right spirit? Is it the right word? I'm going to read in Luke chapter 14, and I'm going to begin at verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, with the Lord Jesus. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and can come after me cannot be my disciple. As I mentioned, we're going to look at the aspect of discipleship, and we're going to look at several things. What the Scripture has to say. We're going to look at some illustrations of men who are disciples and so on. Here in these two verses is two dangers that the Lord Jesus speaks to us about. That if we love our father and mother, wife, children, and brother and sisters, and our life also more than him, we cannot be his disciples. Now the word hate doesn't have the thought of actually hating someone. I looked it up in Vine's expository dictionary of words, and it has the thought of loving less. We're to love those of earthly relationships less, and our own life less than our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't, we cannot be his disciples. And then in verse 27, and if doth not bear his cross, if we don't bear his cross and follow after him, we can't be his disciple. We need to love him more than any other, and we need to bear his cross, to recognize that we're to follow him. Unless we do that, we cannot be his true disciple. Notice he says in verse 26, if any man come to me, we're to come to him. In verse 27, we're to come after him. Great difference there, as these words are used, as the Lord Jesus used these words. We're to come to him, but we're also to come after him. The world will teach that we're to come after him, and eventually you get to him. You'll come to him. But that's not what the Word of God teaches. We're first to come to him, and then we follow after him. The great difference there. And in order to be a true disciple, we're to follow after him. But as we come to him, is a picture of salvation, isn't it? We come to him for eternal life. We come to him for forgiveness of sin, don't we? We recognize that we're a sinner. We're born in sin. We recognize that there's something there between us and God. There's something that's hindering me from having a clear relationship with God. And that is sin, isn't it? When we recognize that, and we come to him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I know I'm lost, and I need a Savior. And we come to him and acknowledging through the Word of God that man was born in sin, repents of his sin, and receives the Lord Jesus Christ, and asks him to save him, that we come to him for salvation and no other. It's the only way that we can be saved, isn't it? Is to come to him. He has the answer. He has the answer to life. He's the only one that could put us on the right path to follow in the true ways. We need to come to him. Notice that the Lord Jesus says that we're to love our earthly relationships less than our relationship with him. See, the moment we're saved, we're brought into a new relationship now. We have a relationship that we didn't have before with God. And we recognize that the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. There's no other way. And no man or woman or child, or anyone that can come to the Father but by him. He's the only way. Come to me. And when we recognize that the new life that he wants to give and that he gives to those who believe is a life. It's something that is real and it's alive. The Lord Jesus comes and lives within us. And he puts within us a love that is greater than all love. It's a love that is eternal, beyond this life. This, his love and the relationship that we're brought into the moment we're saved is eternal. It lives on and on. There's no end. And so that relationship is greater than any relationship here on earth. To love less. Not that we certainly are to love those about us and our families and so on. To honor our father and our mother so that thy days will be long upon the earth and the commandments there and so on. The day in which we're living today, we're seeing less of love. Love seems to be, true love seems to be fading away. We see a lot of hatred. We see a lot of division and strife and envy in the world in which we're living. But it's great to know that in a world in which we're living, that we can still have a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's far beyond any other relationship. And to express his love and to show his love is that which the Lord Jesus wants us to do in recognizing as a disciple. We're not to love our own life more than our life that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, just back a few pages. Lord Jesus is saying the same thought. In verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of his holy angels. You see here the thought that the Lord Jesus speaks. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. We're not to love our life more than him. We're to deny ourselves. We're to recognize now this new relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. The work that he is doing in my life is far greater than anything else in my life. To recognize that our life is his. It belongs to him, and it's so often we fail to recognize that our whole life belongs to him. And if we deny ourselves and take up his cross daily and follow him, that's what he wants us to do. Being a disciple is just simply following, isn't it? Coming to him and coming after him, following after him. He's the one whom we're to follow, and he's the one whom we're to come to and We come after him. We follow after him. We don't follow the teachings of man, the philosophies of men, and so on. But we're to follow him. Come after him and follow him. Notice he says to take up his cross daily. Not only are we to have love toward him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest, our greatest love and affection needs to be for him. But our greatest walk needs to be towards him. To be focused on him, isn't it? To take up his cross. Luke 14 says we're to bear his cross. A lot of people today that wear this cross, the cross, a cross. But he wants us to bear his cross. And I know there's some people genuinely that wear a cross. But you see, we need to understand the whole meaning of the cross. That I'm to bear his cross. The new life that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ and a reflection ought to be a reflection of him and of the reflection of the cross. That's where it all began, isn't it? The work of the cross. And the cross speaks of suffering and anguish and sorrow and death, which the Lord Jesus accomplished on the cross for us. That's what sin brought. The Lord Jesus paid for that sin. And as a result, we have this new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the life that we're to bear before him. A lot of people wear the cross and just as a good luck symbol or many different things, a religious symbol of make them feel good and so on. The whole significance of the cross we see that we're to bear is what the Lord Jesus Christ being brought to humiliation and suffering and death accomplished for us. One of the most popular songs is this song is the old rugged cross so despised by the world. It speaks of the anguish and shame. I love that old cross, the dearest and best, for the world lost sinners was slain. What does the cross speak of to you and I? How do we truly bear his cross? How do we truly allow him to have such a part of the control of our life that we desire none other but him? We go through trials and testings in life. We go through difficulties. But you know, in spite of it all, we're to bear his cross. He's promised to be with us, isn't he? We take up his cross daily and follow him. He's promised to be with us. And no matter how difficult the situation testing can be, he tells us to follow on, to continue on, and to recognize that he's with us. And as we take up his cross and follow him, he's promised that he'd be with us. He bears us up as well. He bears us up before the throne of grace. He prays for us as our great high priest with groanings that cannot be uttered. We have a wonderful Savior who is worthy to be followed. And unless we bear his cross and follow after him, we cannot be his true disciples. We're reminded of an illustration in the Gospel of John in the life of Peter. John chapter 21. Disciples had been fishing all night and they caught nothing. And the Lord told them to cast the net on the other side. And as they come to land, we see that because of time, and I'm not going to go into the whole story, but in verse 10 of chapter 21, Jesus said unto them, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of fishes, and 153 for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. In verse 12, "And Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord." And we see that the Lord Jesus invited them to come and to dine. Come to me and dine. He had told them to cast the net on the right side of the boat, and their net was full of fishes. But here is the Lord Jesus standing on the shore, and he invites them to come and to dine with him. And you know, in our following of him, he invites us to come and to dine with him, to spend time with him. We can't truly follow him unless we come to him and be willing to dine with him, to learn of him and of his word. He speaks to Simon Peter after they had eaten. In verse 15, "Lovest thou me more than these fish?" And Simon said to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my lambs." Asked him the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Simon said to him, "Thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep." And the Lord Jesus asked him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And Simon became grieved and said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep." You see, three times Peter had denied the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Before the cock crow, thou wilt deny me thrice." And it happened, didn't it? And here's three times that the Lord Jesus spoke to Peter as he invited them to come and to dine with him and to follow him. He asked them three times, "If you love me." You see, soon the Lord Jesus, as we see here, would soon be going away back to glory. He'd soon be departing. And he wanted to talk to Peter about his love, how much he truly loved him. And Peter's, we see as in the later on, we see that the Lord tells him in verse 18 how he would die. But he said to him, verse 19, "This spake he," as Peter, or the Lord, "that signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him two words, Follow me." But to Peter, "Just, you truly love me, follow me." Just simply follow me. To come and to dine with him, to follow him. And I wonder, do we truly follow him? Do we truly know what it is to truly just simply follow him? We see later, we see where the Lord Jesus, as he continues his conversation with Peter, as Peter turned around and he saw John, who had leaned on Jesus' breast, and he asked him in verse 20, when Peter turned about and seeth the disciples whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he should not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And you know, Peter was so concerned about this other disciple, John. And the Lord Jesus said that if John is alive when he comes, what is that to thee? Follow me. In the Lord's return, John may not die, but he may be alive. But in recognition of that fact, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, just simply follow me. Don't be so concerned about someone else. To look at someone else, to point fingers at someone else, but just simply follow me. Just simply follow me. And so often we look around and compare ourselves to others, and we say, well, I'm not too bad compared to so-and-so. I think I'm pretty good. I think I'm following the Lord pretty good, and so on. It's a very dangerous thing to begin to look at others as Peter, to compare ourselves with others. But how are we following in our relationship to him? How do we follow him day by day? We're to come to him. We're to come after him, to follow him. We can look at an illustration of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul was reminded of his past as in the Jewish religion, the accomplishments that he had made in the Jewish religion, he considered himself a religious man according to the Jewish law and customs and so on. But notice in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath thereof, he must trust in the flesh, I the more. And here's a list of things that Paul had been in his past, the religious so-called past. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but done, that I might win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, Paul says all the past in the Jewish religion, all the things that he had followed in Judaism and being a Pharisee, and he had such a position in the Jewish religion, but he says, I count them but dung. They're useless. There is no value whatsoever that I might win Christ. He sees them as something that is thrown out, that cannot be compared to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was very self-righteous and so on, but the righteousness of Christ by faith far exceeds. You see, Paul realized that there was nothing that could be compared to the Lord Jesus Christ and the life that we're to follow him. The life that we've been brought to and that we follow him can't be compared to any other of man's religion. This only value is seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to go on in Luke chapter 14. Our time is moving on, and I'd like for us to look at verse 28, and we sort of led into it a little bit already. But we see in 28 through 30, we see a building that is being built in Luke chapter 14. We see a building that is being built, a tower that is being built by a man. In verses 31 through 33, we see a battle that is being fought, a king who prepares for war but fails to count the cost. First, we see a building that is being built. And this man builds a tower. He has this vision, this great idea in building this tower. In verse 28, he intends to build a tower. Does he not sit down first and count at the cost whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Here's a picture of a man who failed to count the cost in building the tower. And as he thinks of it, and unless he has the sufficient funds to build a tower that he to not only start but to complete the tower, he ought not to even start. This man began to build and was not able to finish. See, when we follow the Lord Jesus, we begin with him. But we're brought into eternity, the relationship of eternity. There's no end. But in God's plan, his work of redemption, he finished the work on the cross of Calvary. But he also began the greatest work in redeeming man to himself. The work of redemption is eternal. And he comes to give life and that we might have it more abundantly. And it's eternal. And it's a dangerous thing that we see in this parable here of the tower, that in counting the cost, that as we follow him, we need to recognize that it's an eternal relationship. That it begins now and it's throughout all eternity. But there's also the aspect that when we begin with him and follow after him, that in this life we're to recognize that we're to finish the course. Paul says in the end of his life, I've finished the course that you've given me to do. I'm now ready to be offered. And you know, it's important that we recognize that when we follow him, that we're to finish in our life here on earth. We just don't go part way and do something different or turn our back on him, which is always a danger. But we're to count the cost and recognize that in this life, we're to finish to the end till death comes. And you know, the Lord told Peter how he was to die, that he might, in his death, he might glorify God. And then he says, follow me. And the Lord Jesus reminded Peter they were to follow him till his death. And it's the same with you and I. We're to follow after him until the Lord takes us home to be with himself. We're to count the cost, aren't we? Yes, sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we don't get into the Word as we ought to, and we grow cold and don't sense that we're truly the disciple that we ought to be. That can happen. And things can come in and crowd out, and we don't give enough time for the Lord. And Satan would want to take away and try to destroy that which God is building in our life. But you see, if we realize that there's a building that we're building. We're building this in our life that is eternal. And if we count the cost and recognize that it's worth it, following him is worth it. That there's nothing can be compared to it, that it's worth it. And truly, our life will glorify him. We'll truly follow him as his disciple. And we also see the fact that there's a battle to be fought. We have a story of a king who plans to go to war. He has 10,000 soldiers, and to go against 20,000, am I truly prepared? If he's not prepared, he sends an ambassador to try to seek a condition of peace, to try to come to a compromise in some way, because he's preparing himself. And you know, there's the aspect of preparation in the battle that Satan brings upon us. And God wants to prepare us and to be with us and to realize that the battle is not ours, it's his. It's only through him and the obstacles that hinder us in following, that Satan puts in our way, it's only through him can they be removed. Notice he says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you, forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It's an aspect of forsaking all that we have. And you know, if we allow Satan to take control and allow him to influence in our life, and we allow him to lead us astray, or we cannot be his disciple. You see, there's preparation. And this king, he was to consult first as to whether he's able to win the battle and with twice the force that he has. You see, the thought is that he must consult first and to realize that. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can help us to win the battle by recognizing and counting the cost that he's able to deliver us and to bring victory and strength in our life through the trials and the forces of evil that are there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers, the darkness of this world. And you know that Satan is real, and he wants to destroy. But the Lord Jesus wants us to follow after him. Come to me. He invites us to come to him. And he says, come and follow me. To follow after him. To walk in his ways, to count the cost, recognizing we can't do it on our own, but he's the one who can go before us, that in the end of this life, we can say we've finished the course. We're recognized that following him is truly worth it all. Nothing can be compared to it. Unless we follow him, we cannot be his disciple. He wants us to follow. He wants us to follow him. And just be willing in our heart and mind to just simply follow him, the simple truth of the Word of God. Let's just close in prayer.